Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Sarab Kattari, the Director of Merchant Advocacy at Signified. Sarab, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Karen. I'm excited.
So I'm excited, too, because this will kick off our Global Fraud Index podcast series, where we will take a particular topic that we examine together over the course of our work on preparing the Global Fraud Index, which is a comprehensive evaluation of the state of fraud by looking at over 5,000 e-commerce merchants across North America, Asia, and Europe, and looking at the types of fraud and the segments in which that fraud is being perpetrated to better understand it. So, Sarab, if you're ready, why don't we dive into our first topic?
Let's do it.
All right. So, topic number one for this podcast series is account takeover. And in the most recent edition of our index, it really did reflect a very disturbing trend that we took note of before the Equifax breach made account takeover a topic of conversation. In Q2, we observed it increasing 45%, and we're obviously tracking and examining that for the next issue of the index. But Sarab, I'd love to get your perspective on this, because it has really risen across many of the industries we examine. Why? What makes this method of fraud so popular?
Absolutely. So I think two things we should clarify out the gate, because we're going to talk about this in detail. First of all, putting this in perspective of the predominant type of online or e-commerce fraud, which is still stolen financials. So over 95% of fraud losses that online retailers will face will be stolen financials. They are today, and they will continue to be. Mm-hmm. It's within the other 5% that there's a dramatic growth of account takeover fraud. And as you said, it's not that the Equifax data breach and the subsequent data breaches after that have led to the account takeover. The account takeover fraud was already rising. Mm-hmm. The data breach with Equifax just brought a public awareness to this issue. Five of the eight industries that we cover have seen significant rise in the first half of the year for account takeover fraud, but I want to clarify. The other three, two of them already had high account takeover fraud, and these are the ones you would expect. Jewelry, watches, and precious metals has had high account takeover fraud for some time. Furniture, appliances, and home improvement has also had, respectively, higher account takeover fraud. The only industry that we're currently tracking that is not showing very high or rising signs of account takeover fraud is alcohol, tobacco, and cannabis. There it's still predominantly stolen financial. So the other five are now essentially catching up to the levels of account takeover that we've seen with, say, jewelry and furniture.
So why is that the case?
There are a number of reasons as to why account takeover fraud is rising. One reason that I don't think is that obvious to online retailers or to the general public is that there have been significant steps taken by merchants, e-commerce platforms, and payment processors to limit the amount of fraud, a transactional fraud, for e-commerce transactions. And that's predominantly been geared towards stopping or preventing or identifying stolen financial fraud, in that the ability for a fraudster to use someone else's credit card details to transact on with those details and to have goods delivered to them. Mm-hmm. That's your traditional stolen financial. So fraudsters are innovative. Account takeover is a little different, and let me define it for the audience. With account takeover, the fraudster is taking over one or more of the user's accounts, not their credit card details. This is the account that they might have with an online retailer. And often, they're also taking control of the user's email account, so that if they were to change the password or do other things on the online retail account, the communication that happens with the user would go right back to the fraudster, because they now have control of your shopping account and of your email account. So essentially, to the online retailer, they are you. Even if they try to send an email to have you verify or reset your password, the fraudster is the one that's actually doing it. Hmm. So this gives fraudsters from a retailer's perspective, it's very hard for them to identify this type of fraud because the retailer sees an existing customer with a good track record placing an additional order, just shipping it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference. Mm-hmm. And with retailers that have a long history with consumers, they likely have more than one address anyway for shipping. So it's a higher success rate for fraudsters, significantly higher than stolen financials, which is why this type of fraud has gained in popularity. There's also the factor of the amount of public data that's available, mm-hmm. That's enabling account takeover fraud. And as we've explained in a previous article, Karen, there's also just now coming to light how prevalent the poor password best practices or usage have been with users that is allowing fraudsters to really get control of one account and then essentially guess their way through dozens of other accounts because of how often people use the same password.
Yeah, I certainly... there's a little bit of a personal sting to that too. I know even though we're in the business and should know better, frustration takes over and it's just really easy to use that same password over and over again. So we all need to be vigilant there. I want to come back to the fraudster and how they optimize this type of fraud. So how do they actually get the most out of the time that they have assuming the identity of a legitimate consumer?
Yeah, this is a somewhat disconnected process that consumers and retailers aren't as privy to as we might be on the platform side. But essentially, from a fraudster's perspective, they're acquiring, on the dark net, they're acquiring a set of usernames. And what they're doing, especially if they can take this database, they can take it offline. So it's not connected anymore to the site from which it was stolen. They can just target this database with all kinds of algorithms to come up with combinations that match the hash for the password. Hmm. When they feel that they're close enough and they've got success on the passwords that they're attempting with these accounts, then they bring that information online and they will attempt to log into those accounts with what is now the best the best likelihood of password that would work. Now, I want to be clear, though. For fraudsters, the best way of doing this is actually to target accounts that people don't use often. Because they're more likely, if there's an account, your water bill or something that you don't really log into frequently, maybe less than once a month, maybe only once a year, their ability to actually hack into that account and verify your combination of email address and password is actually much better there than somewhere where you're transacting frequently, where you may notice if someone else has logged in or if anything has changed. Mm-hmm. The problem is, as you said, Karen, getting into those lower profile accounts is allowing them to have that combination that is likely, in so many cases, likely going to work across now all of your accounts. And that's how they then retrofit what they've learned about these users and use account takeover across multiple accounts for that user, having started with accounts that are much lower profile and oftentimes much less secure.
Note to self, check my water bill to make sure that my water bill account is still legit. But I take the point that these guys are clever and they understand, it sounds like, consumer behavior well enough to both know that we reuse passwords, but also know what kinds of accounts we may not particularly be on top of and therefore won't get noticed when they're testing things. Let's talk a little bit about the industries that tend to be the targets. You mentioned that there are five of the eight industries that we cover that really do pop to the top, But is there one in particular where you've observed a spike that perhaps was a little unanticipated for even you as an expert in this area?
So I think, it's interesting. When we talk about industries in online retail, the lines are getting really blurred. We're getting to a situation where a lot of merchants are selling a lot of different things. And with account takeover, this is especially important. So let me call out a couple of industries, and then I'll talk about this this particular phenomenon about being able to steal goods from a merchant that you generally wouldn't expect would be selling that in the first place. But the industries where we've always worried about account takeover fraud rising, because merchants are less equipped to be checking orders from well-established existing customers, and where the volume is really disturbing, is apparel and consumer electronics, especially in holiday seasons, where the volume is going to grow significantly for apparel and consumer electronics. Mm-hmm. The third industry where we've seen that spike, and again, something that is going to be relevant during the holiday season, is cosmetics and perfume. Mm-hmm. So these three industries, you've traditionally seen account takeover limited to higher value transactions, where fraudsters are just going to go after higher net worth individuals and try to get into their accounts for high-end fashion, for higher-end consumer electronics, drones, for example, and high-end luxury cosmetics or perfume. But now we're seeing that account takeover is rising in the transaction levels of $100 to $500 transactions, where you traditionally see stolen financials. And this is just, again, it comes back to success rate. If a fraudster has control of your account with a good history, the merchant has no reason to believe that the next order that's being placed is fraudulent. That hasn't happened before with this account. So that order is being placed, the merchant's happy, good customer, ordering more expensive and maybe healthier margin products, and boom, that actually turns out to not be the consumer. It's a fraudster who's got control of their account, and the consumer is now coming back and saying, look, those are not my transactions. I don't know how somebody did them through my account. I do want to go back to one area in particular. Online department stores, Karen, have been reversing some of the losses they have to take on more regular, extremely competitively priced products by selling higher margin goods. Mm-hmm. And so they are, online department stores are selling apparel. Mm-hmm. They're selling consumer electronics. They're selling appliances. They're selling across many different industries. And for them, they actually want consumers that have an established history to be buying these higher value products from them as opposed to specialized retailers. So they have inherently become an ideal target for account takeover, because that well-established account with an online department store where you may have just been buying groceries and toothpaste, now that account is ordering appliances or apparel or consumer electronics, and the retailer is very eager to complete that transaction and ship those goods out because they want to upsell their existing customers.
Interesting. I have a question for you about the relationship now between account takeover and friendly fraud. Not that they are, they're obviously different, but here you have a consumer saying to their, you know, their bank, hey, I never ordered that, which kind of sounds a lot like, hey, I never ordered that in the friendly fraud category. Is that another opportunity for confusion and advantage cyber crook?
So technically, there's a difference in the pattern that establishes friendly fraud from account takeover. Most notably, with account takeover, a fraudster would like to deliver the shipment or the goods to one of their drop sites.
Right.
So you see a difference in address for delivery for that particular order, which once the account is restored, the delivery address of the legitimate consumer has no real issue with friendly fraud, stolen financials, or account takeover. With friendly fraud, what you're seeing is particular transactions to the same location are being challenged, whereas others are just fine. And you might think, well, someone that denies receiving one order is likely to deny all of them. That's not how friendly fraud actually works. People continue to order, but for certain transactions, especially higher value transactions, or especially ones where they're very unhappy with the service, they didn't get what they wanted, or a matter was not resolved, there you see friendly fraud. I have to say, Karen, that merchants have actually done a great job in the past year turning friendly fraud around and making it easier for their customers to actually have things resolved, and to make it clear how returns should be managed so that customers don't feel like the only way they can get their money back is by simply filing a chargeback instead of trying to resolve the issue with the merchant.
Got it. That makes sense. Final thought on this, and this is obviously directed to a business audience, retailers, and the ecosystem more broadly. But what should consumers be thinking about, given what is an unhappy trend in the increase in account takeovers? Obviously, other than checking your water bill and changing your passwords.
That's a good question, because what is really happening with the rise in account takeover fraud, and this is to the tune of $3.3 billion mm-hmm. in the first half of the year, that's the additional losses from account takeover fraud, is that a problem or a poor or bad behavior by consumers, the average person, is hurting the retailer. This is not something that the retailer is necessarily doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Most retailers cannot be expected to identify account takeover fraud the way we do. You know, I'm in an enviable position where I'm seeing data from 5,000 merchants in real time, and I have verified fraud data because of Signified, and because we're a platform, we have that view. Most merchants can just see what they're transacting and maybe what their platform or data provider is showing them. So from the merchant's point of view, when they see orders from existing accounts, it's very hard for them to know that this is a potential account takeover. What consumers are doing that is hurting merchants, this is what the average person can do to fight account takeover fraud, is to use stronger passwords, to not use common words, to not use plain text, and to please use different passwords for different accounts. It's all it takes to make a significant difference in how effective fraudsters are with account takeover.
Well, I guess that's until we get better authentication techniques that eliminate passwords altogether. But I take your point that the merchant isn't doing anything wrong. They're a victim as much as the consumer is, and so consumers and retailers are on the wrong side of the cyber crooks, and so we need to unite and fight back, it sounds like.
Correct. That's the one difference, is that with stolen financials, the fraud is very transactional. Mm-hmm. The merchant takes the hit, the consumer gets reimbursed, and you're done. With account takeover, multiple merchants will be taking the hit. The same consumer will see fraud across multiple accounts. So both, to your point, are truly the victims here, and that's why this is especially concerning, the rise of account takeover fraud on so many fronts.
Well, Serb, thanks so much for all the great insight on a topic of real importance and a growing concern with respect to transacting online. Thanks again for your insights. Look forward to the next edition of our podcast series.
Thanks for having me, Karen.